morning, everyone. This service will be quite different than the first one. The first service, I said that I don't know that I've ever talked in front of a group of people for 45 minutes before and not shared one scripture. So I'm going to make up for it during this one. Oftentimes, God will have me teach on a specific chapter or specific passage. And today, what he's laid out for me is, I don't know if you remember back when you didn't have phones where you could just type in the address of where the verse is found. You actually had to look them all up in your Bible. And we would have contests of who could find different scriptures the quickest. And there might be like 20 of them to do, and you see how fast you could find them. Well, that's kind of what today's going to be like. We're going to be going from place to place to place to place in a very short period of time. So for those of you who have your phones, you'll be able to find them quickly. If you want to set it up to follow in the New King James Version, because that's what I'll be sharing from, if you want to actually read kind of what I'm either quoting and or reading, that's the translation that I will be using. If you have your own special one, then use that if you prefer. But I'm just going to dive right into the Word this morning. And first of all, what I would say is when Pastor Bill first talked to me Thursday afternoon and asked me to share, it was first just to be in this service. And then as I shared a little bit more about my trip, he says, we'll share that during the first part section of it. But immediately after we were done, what I typically like to do, if I have my preference, I like to know a week or two in advance before I'm speaking, because I'm one of those organized people that like to have time, you know, to arrange everything. Well, here I had 2 days. And usually what part of my time is okay, God, what do you want me to speak on? That's usually the biggest part of the time, because I want to make sure that I'm sharing what he wants me to share and not what I feel like sharing. But I can tell you, it didn't take too long after talking to Pastor Bill. I was done and I go, okay, he's been teaching on healing. Is that what you want me to teach? And the answer was no. I'm like, okay, now that opens up everything else. If it would have been healing, then I've got my answer. I can teach on healing. I've taught on it before. And I have, God's done some miracles in my own life, healing-wise, and I could share those, and it would have been simple. But now it opens up everything, because it's not healing, but it's anything else. But I can tell you by the end of the day Thursday, it was pretty clear what I was to be sharing on. And it's kind of what God has been dealing with me on in my own personal life. Because more or less the way in spending time with God, he made it such that there's at least one of you out here that are dealing with the same things I am. Kind of made it clear. If there's one, God's willing to have it shared for that one person. My guess is there's more than one. He didn't point out any one person, so if I'm looking at one person as I'm talking, don't think that he's pointed you out and that you need to hear this. I like talking to different people as I'm doing it. I like it to be personal. So usually I pick out people and talk to them. So don't feel uncomfortable if I'm staring at you as I'm talking. I rely on the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to convict anyone, but I hope that if there's a word that God's trying to get through to you, that he's able to do it this morning through his Holy Spirit. Okay? So let's actually, I want you to turn to and or type into your phones. James chapter 1 verses 22 through 25. And this is just kind of the opening, an introduction, but it really sets up the need for the rest of the teaching. And James 1, 22 through 25 says this, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing himself in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Now I want you to notice something here. In verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word." Okay, do you see that? Now look what happens by the time you get to verse 25. What word does he use there? "But be doers of the work." There's a connection. And the connection is, if you want to be doing the work that God has for you to do, just be doing the word. It's actually kind of straightforward. A lot of people will spend time trying to figure out what God wants them to do in their life. And God does have something specific for each one of us. that he will show you that, oh, this is what I want you to do here, and here's kind of a path I'm taking you down your life, and this is what I'm leading you to do. But many people who don't know yet what God has for them kind of get stuck in a place. And until God shows them what they're to do, they wind up doing nothing. And I'm saying this because that was me for many years. Okay? If I didn't know what to do then, I just didn't do anything. I sat in a pew, and we actually had pews back then where you're sitting in those cushion pews, and just listened over and over and over again. And continually got fed, but was doing nothing. I will tell you, that's just what Satan wants. He wants you doing nothing. But that's why I wanted to start with this opening today. If you want to be doing what God wants you to do, then just start doing the Word of God. Read in the Word, and it'll tell you over and over, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Get busy doing that. Until you know what it is specifically he wants you to be doing instead of just sitting there doing nothing. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So in other words, we're supposed to be doing good works right from the beginning. The verses prior to that basically tell you that we're not to be saved. We can't be saved by works. But immediately after making that declaration, it says, he created for good works. So start doing something. Okay? That's an exhortation. Start doing something. And the starting place is, if you don't know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, start by doing the Word. Just go in there and start looking. It'll tell you page after page, do this, do this, do this, do this. You can't go wrong if you're doing the Word. Okay? Now, here's something else that God showed me. And I found it interesting. In fact, I was thinking in general about the word try and the word do. Just in spending time with God. And I'm like, I can't think of one time in the Bible where it tells a child of God to try to do something. So I had to start looking it up. So I started looking in the Bible, and I went to a certain Bible program, and I looked up to see how many times the word try is used in the Bible. And it's only 10 times. Okay? At least in the New King James Version, 10 times. Now, I'll give you a different number. The word do is used 2,251 times. 10 times, try. Now, what you'll find in that word try, it's not a child of God trying to do something ever once. Ever. It's God saying, try me now in this, when it's about the tithe. It's the psalmist saying, try me, O Lord. Try me. So it's not you trying. It's more like a trial or try me. Investigate, look into me. There is an occasion where people are trying something, but it's actually those who are in the flesh trying to keep Christians deceiving them and trying to get them away from God. It's actually used a couple times like that. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that a Christian is to try to do anything. Think about that. What led me on this path was I started thinking, you know, trying actually implies the chance of failure. The Bible has a saying, try, if at first you don't succeed, try again. That's not God. The Bible doesn't mention that anywhere. That's right. What the Bible says is rely on God and do. Yes. There's the connection. You can try and possibly fail, or you can rely on God and actually do what God wants you to do. Amen. That's why it's used 2,251 times. Now, I did not look all those up, but I did look at a few of them. And see, okay, what's this about this doing? And one of them that popped into my mind right away was John 14:12. And it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Notice it doesn't say greater works than these he will try to do. It just says he will do them. Here's what we know about God, though. He won't tell you to do something if he hasn't equipped you to do it. And that's what we're really going to talk about the rest of the day today. We now know where to do things and not just try them. Yep. The key is we need to rely on God in the doing of them. So how has he set us up for success in the doing? If we're not to try and possibly fail, we're just supposed to rely and do, then what has he given us to make us sure that we're going to succeed in the doing? And the first thing is, I actually heard a word mentioned over here. And the starting point is, he's given us his Holy Spirit. That's the starting point. And I think almost all of you, I don't think you could spend more than a week or two in this church without knowing that the Holy Spirit resides in you if you're born again. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" I'm pretty sure all of you in here know it. You can't sit here for long and not know it. At least you've heard it. To come to the revelation of that and actually get the impact of that, that could be a different story. But I'll allow God to do that in you. But I want to take you to another scripture. Most all of you also know, if you've sat in this church long, all that the Holy Spirit does for us. He's our comforter. He actually takes the word that we're reading and reveals it to us so that it does become life to us. There are many things that the Holy Spirit does. But one of the things I want you to see today is maybe not one that everyone goes to often, or if you were to ask people to list what the Holy Spirit does, I've actually done that before, and don't find them listing this one. 1 Corinthians 2:12. This was actually a verse that we had to learn. I had to learn, and they're still learning in the leadership training school. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So one of the reasons he gave us the Holy Spirit is so we can know all that he's given us. It's the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. So if you don't know, I'm going to share a few of them with you today. But I would encourage you, even after today, I'm only going to share three or four of them. There are many. Spend some time with God and get to know all the resources, everything that he's given to us, so that we can live our lives the way he wants us to. I put it this way. If you don't know you have it, you're probably not going to be able to use it, because you're not even going to realize it's there for you to use. So spend some time with God and go, "God, am I missing something here? Have you given me something, equipped me in a certain way, and I'm not using it because I don't even know?" Basically, that verse tells you, he'll show you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll show you all that he's given to you. So he's given us his Spirit. As I was preparing for this teaching this morning, I wasn't even really looking for this specific verse. I kind of run into it by accident. And how many of you know that with God there are no accidents? This one just jumped off the pages to me. I don't even know how I got to it. I was looking for something else and wound up here. And that's why I often encourage people. Sometimes people will ask me about something and I'll share part of it and I'll say, if you want to know more, go look for it yourself. And I do that for a reason. Not to be mean or anything like that. I like to send people to God's Word looking for something specific that they're looking for, because what I found is when they do that, they find other things. That is just handing it all to them on a platter. I love people that are willing to dig for something. And that's kind of what happened here. I was looking for something and go, "Oh, when did God add this verse?" I'm serious. I know I've read it before, but I never really quite saw it like this. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says this: "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." And that verse just jumped out to me, because we're talking about doing things. But basically what this verse is saying is God's going to look into each one of us. And when he does, he's going to give us according to what we're doing. In other words, as you step out and do what God has you to do, and he looks at you, "Oh, this one's doing exactly what I told him to do. And this one I've showed to do this, and he's done that." What you're going to find out is God's going to wind up giving you more and more. That's more or less what this says here. According to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. That's what according means. And it's God that's doing that. So if you want more in your life, do more. Because it's saying that God's going to reward that. Okay? So, now we have God's Spirit, the first resource that I would say he's given us, and to me the most important. I can't imagine my life without him. All of us at one point in time were. Mine, it was long enough ago that I really don't remember it well, and that's probably a good thing. I've heard some stories of what I did prior to knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'll tell you one that you might find a little bit of humor in. I grew up in church, in a Christian Missionary Alliance church, and my mother had me with my sister sitting in the second pew every week. I don't know why we didn't sit in the first. No one else sat in the first either. That must have been, you're not allowed there. And it wasn't that it was for pastors or anything else, just no one sat that close to the pulpit. But she had us in row two. And one of us had to sit on each side of her so that if we were doing anything wrong, she could get to us real quick. Okay? But then we had a Sunday school class that went on before church. And my mother told me this story later, and this is what I call BC, before Christ. What I would do often in Sunday school, well, until she found out about it anyhow. I had learned how to play cards at home. And I'd learned how to play poker. Well, all the kids had money to give. So we went in and played cards, and I would take their money. I'm not saying, please don't teach any of your children that or even mention it. All I'm doing is telling on myself. That's what I was doing, and my mother stopped that real quick when she found out. So I really, what I'm saying is I really needed the Holy Spirit in me because I needed some help. So I'm thanking God right from the beginning that I actually gave my life to God at the age of 13, so fairly young. But as I mentioned earlier, I really didn't start the doing until considerably later. And what I just shared with you about God giving you more and more and showing you more and more, I found a parent in my own life. As I started out doing things, all of a sudden things exploded in my life. Up until then, all I will say is I just kind of sat there doing nothing, and I know God wasn't happy about that now, but I will say that I would also say, looking back, Satan was fine with that. He's fine with people just sitting there doing nothing. What you'll typically find out is he won't mess with you because he doesn't need to. You will find out that you have an adversary when you start doing something. But you also find out that you have a God that's bigger than the adversary when you start doing something. And that to me is even more exciting. Okay? So we have the Holy Spirit leading us now and showing us all that he's given to us. As I mentioned earlier today, even the starting point for doing this teaching was, okay, God, what do I share? I can tell you that's how I try to do, notice the word try, everything in my life. Every once in a while I fail, and I wind up doing things on my own. Have any of you ever done that? You don't need to raise your hands. I'm looking specifically at Randy because I know I can get away with it, and he won't mind. Because I think, from talking to other people, almost all of us have at one point in time. I can tell you in my own life, I've even done it fairly recently. Knowing all that I know and all that God shared with me over time, every once in a while I find myself just plowing into something on my own. And for me, if I haven't spent time with God and the Holy Spirit has not shown me exactly what I need to be doing, things don't go well. And usually what stops me is I'll get so far into something and going, this isn't going well. I must be doing something that I ought not be doing. And so for me, it's looking at, is this going the way God would want it to go? And if not, guess what? It's not God doing something wrong. It's always me that's wrong. Okay? So I know I need to stop and say, okay, where did I get this wrong? And often it's the very starting point. Did you talk to God about this before you even started it? Okay? In other words, spend time with him before you step out and do what he has for you to do to make sure it's what he has for you to do. There are a lot of good things out there we could all be doing. There's need everywhere. We could jump in and do this and this and this and this. But every good work is not the work that you're to be doing. God has something specifically for you. Even when he separated me to the ministry that I'm in now, he made it very clear to me right up front. He says, there's going to be open doors everywhere. They'll be open. But not every open door is the door I want you to go through. So make sure and check with me. There was only like three things he shared with me up front, and that was one of them. Make sure that the door you're going through is one I want you to go through, even if it's open. And the way to do that, one of the best ways to do that, is to go to him, spend some time in prayer, and then go and rely on the next resource that God gives to us. And that is his peace. Because if you're going down and doing, going down the path that God wants you to and doing what God wants you to do, you will find peace as you're doing it. I want you to look at a couple specific verses. John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed." So this is a peace unlike what the world's talking about. Right now, there's war going on in the Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. The world would describe peace as if that war stopped. God describes peace differently. With God, he can give you peace in the middle of the war, in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the trial, whatever it is you're going through. That's why it talks there, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." Because the world doesn't understand this kind of peace and can't have it. It only comes with God. But what you need to know is that it's there for you. And you need to use it kind of as a checkpoint. Okay, he's given it to you. So if you start down the path and there's no peace, stop. Because you probably got it wrong. Not to say that you're not going to run into battles, but what you'll find is even when the battles come and the enemy's against you, there'll still be peace because you're on the right path. But if there's no peace, then you need to check something. And usually it's you that's off and go, "God, am I missing this?" Sometimes he'll tell you, "No, you're good. Keep going." Other times he'll go, "Yep, we need to make a change here." Isaiah 26:3 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I tell people, the whole Bible is my favorite verses. But I think each one of us have some that stand out to us. And if I had to list my five favorite, I would probably put this as one of them. And it's about peace. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And I go back to this verse often for a reason. I almost look at it in reverse. Because God asked me, "Do you trust me?" See, it's the last part of the sentence. "You will keep him in perfect peace, his mind stayed on you because he trusts in you." So, if I truly trust him, if I trust him, only then will my mind remain focused upon him. Because if I don't trust him, why would I be thinking about him? Okay? That's the middle point. Why bother if I don't trust him? But if I trust him, and therefore I focus my mind on him, he promises me to keep me in perfect peace. This doesn't say peace. This is a perfect peace. This is a peace you can only find with God. So as you're going down these paths and your eyes are focused on Jesus, because you trust him, you can be assured that there's going to be perfect peace in your life. If there's not, I like having what I call self-checkups. I don't need anyone else checking up on me. In fact, if someone tries, I usually shut them down. I don't necessarily like it. Now, I do have a few people in my life where, and I think it's good to have this in your life. God led me to do this, where I've told them, if you see something in my life that ought not be so, it would not be you loving me if you didn't tell me. But there's specific people I actually share that with, going, you see something, that means, because if I saw it, I wouldn't be doing it. So if I'm being deceived and don't see it, I've got a few people that I go, you tell me about it because I want to take it to God and deal with it. But in general, if just anyone wants to share that with me, I'm probably going to go, wait a minute. But I think, to me, this is just an encouragement. You ought to all have someone like that. To me, it's been a great benefit in my life because every once in a while, we don't see everything. And when you can have someone that's willing to speak into your life out of love, and the people that I ask to do this, I know love me. Okay, so they're not going to be looking to find my faults just to point out a fault. They're actually going to be looking to point this out because it's going to benefit me, because I'm not seeing it. So there will be this perfect peace there. And now once you have gone to the Holy Spirit, gone to God, and he's shown you this is the way I want you to go, and you're walking down the path and you have peace, so you know you're on the right path. This is the right path because you have peace. This is one part that I find, I don't usually like to overgeneralize between the sexes. And maybe it's the fact that I haven't talked to enough women to know this is true or not. But in my conversations, most of the time I'm talking to just men, okay? And what I will hear is over and over again is, and this is true in my own life, this is why I'm saying this, is that what starts out in the spirit winds up being in the flesh. And the Bible talks a lot about not doing that. And by in the flesh, I mean in my own strength. I start doing something. I know it's God. He's made it clear. There's peace there. Let's go do this. And then I start grabbing onto it and say, I can do this. Notice the problem. It's I. I can do this. Now, the Bible does say in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's not the I at the beginning of that that's the key to the sentence. It's the last half of the sentence. It's through his strength. That's how I can do all things. If I get the I as the main part of that, me doing it, then there winds up being problems. It doesn't work out well. And I know this firsthand because I've tried it more than once. Okay? So don't do it. I consider wisdom is when you hear someone telling a story and how it didn't work out well for them, that you actually listen to it and go, I'm not going to do that. You know, don't try it on your own just to prove that I'm right. I'd rather you just go, well, yeah, I won't try that either. That's just plain wisdom as far as I'm concerned. And so, and this is actually something God has had to deal with me on more than one time. Because I'll start down a path and everything's going good. It's the right path. I'm in peace. And then I go, well, I know how to do that. And I can do that. And I've done it this way before and it's worked. But you know what? That may not be the way God wants you to do it this time. You need to keep checking in with God. And keep relying on God, which that verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not that I can do all things because of the strength that I have. Okay? And all I can say is that gets in the way a little, quite often in my life. And so I have to keep going back. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. So this strength that we have is not a strength that we conjure up in ourselves or try to do out of our own flesh. It must be on the strength that he gives us. It says, I will strengthen you. It's his strength that enables us to be able to do that which God has directed us to do. This is another verse that I will tell you, you all know. In fact, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And it puts this very plainly. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your might or his might?
His might.
So we're to be strong, but it's not in our own strength. It must be in his might. And what we'll find is, as we're doing what he wants us to do, and we have the peace so that we know we're doing what he wants us to do, and we're relying on his might and not our own strength, once again, things are going to go well for you. We're basically talking this through. We know that God wants us to do things. His word tells us this. So what I'm trying to show you today is some of the resources that he gives us that makes this process work the way God wants us to work. So I'm going to go to one more this morning. And as I said, there's actually many more we could go to. Many more. But this is kind of where God had me stop. And this one, I think in any work that anyone's doing, you wind up here somewhere. Basically, I think I may even mention this in the first service, that the gospel is free and to be freely given to all men. But there is a cost to get it done. Okay? And oftentimes, in whatever it is that God has for you to do, there's going to wind up being costs. And by costs, I don't mean just sacrifices in your own life, and there may very well be. But actually financial costs to get things done. And I can tell you in my own life, this also has been a hindrance in the past. I will say that God has continued to do a good work in me, as the Bible talks about. And I pass a little bit more often than I fail now, is what I would say. And he continues to work in me. And that is, I'm kind of a numbers person. I'm one of those when you start speaking things, I run numbers just automatically. It's the way my head works. I have an associate degree in accounting, and I know what started with that, but I went into that because I like running numbers in my head. And so what I'll often do is when I see a problem, I just start calculating what's it going to take to handle the problem financially. Or here's this path, God showed me to do this, and the numbers start rolling. Well, that's not how God wants it to work. Because it doesn't matter how I roll those numbers around, they mean nothing to God, really. Because no matter whether I run the numbers and come up and go, yeah, I can do that, or whether I run the numbers and go, no, this doesn't work, either way, it doesn't matter to God. Because he has all the resources he needs, and it's no matter what conclusion I draw, this is, if he's given us, me specifically, or you in the path he's taking you down, if it's his path, and you know it's his path because there's peace, and you're relying on him for his strength, guess what? He's going to provide. Yes. Whatever numbers you run, it doesn't matter. Because he's going to provide whatever it is you need. In fact, how he does it may not even make sense. There have been many times where I've run the numbers and go, well, it doesn't work, but if God does this. And then I'll pray to God, do this and it'll work. And then God does it a completely different way. And it works. Okay? So don't become fixed on the financial cost if you know you're on God's path. Because he'll make it work. Want to go to a few verses. Philippians 4:19. One of the nice short verses in the Bible. But it's also an important one. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, what I want to point out here is this is just a starting point. There's a difference between your needs and what you need to be able to do above and beyond what you see as your basic needs. I'll label these as your basic needs. Being able to have what you need to live, clothing, house, food, shelter, things like that. In the passage, it talks about, you know, does not God provide even for the birds? So if he knows their needs and he provides for them, won't he provide for yours? Yes. But there's even a step beyond that. What I want you to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And actually, I want you to turn to this one. For all of you who have your Bibles, we went through many of these quite quickly. But this one I want you to look at. And most of you have probably heard of chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But what we're going to focus on is verse 8. 6 and 7 say this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." How many of you have ever heard that before, a tithe and offering teaching? It's important. It's good to know that we're to give with the right attitude. And I'd heard those two verses, I will say, quoted at least 100 times in my life, knew they were true, checked my own heart attitude in giving, very important, before I even heard verse 8. Then I heard verse 8 and I go, wow, where has this verse been? Because this is an awesome verse. In fact, we had to learn verses 6 and 7 in leadership training school. We didn't have to learn verse 8. And I'm going, why did they stop there? Because this is the exciting part. In verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work." Now listen to all these alls in there. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, sometimes or part-time or when he feels like it or when you need it, it says always, having all sufficiency, meaning every single thing you need, in all things. So some things, not other things. No, in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Does it say that you'll have just enough for the good work? It's not what it says. It says you're going to have an abundance for every good work. Now, once God showed that to me, I got excited. I'm going, wow, I love this verse. So everything that God calls me to do, he's going to supply me with an abundance to be able to do it.
Absolutely.
But that's not what it says. And I will tell you, it took me several years. I'd memorized that verse. It was in me. I knew it. And I was living it to the extent that I just talked about. Until the Armada landmark last year. And I was sitting in a service, and this was not even being talked about. But God was dealing with me, his spirit to my spirit, as I was sitting there. And kind of having a conversation, going, okay, God, I have this amount of money. And what would you have me do with it? And I'm thinking about the good works that he has for me to do. And how this works out, once again, I start running numbers. And God literally stopped me in my tracks, in my chair. I'm sitting in one of the meetings. I can't remember now who was talking, but it's what I needed to see. I want you to read this again and pay close attention to the ending. May have an abundance for my good works. For the good works that God has given me to do. Doesn't say that. That I'll have an abundance for every good work. So when I hear about the good works that the Marabellas are doing, and this was specific to last year, he's going, I'm going to give you an abundance so that you have an abundance to help supply them, their needs. So this wasn't all about me and me being able to do what God gave me to do. He's promised me an abundance to not only do what I'm going to do, but to have an abundance for every good need. He had laid on my heart specifically to the Marabellas to financially bless them. And that's when he was showing me. He showed me this verse, and that's what led to it. He's going, I'm going to give you all you need to be a blessing to others, not only to have what you need to do, what you have to do, because I've given them things to do. And one of the ways they're going to accomplish that is out of the abundance that you have, that you give into their lives. I got excited. I love it when God shows me things like that. It was no one preaching to me, speaking. I'm just sitting there going, and this just came out of the blue. And I was so happy. By the time the service was over, I had to run around and tell at least 3 or 4 people. It just excites me when God shows me something that was there all the time and I just didn't see it. That's part of this relying on God's resources. This is why I encourage you to not stop here. Don't just take what I've shared with you and say, this is it. Here's the resources we have. I now know to rely on the Holy Spirit and His peace and not do things in my own strength and that He'll provide for me. But there's a whole lot more. So I encourage you to dig into the Word. See what else God has provided for you to be able to do the good works that not only He has for you to do, but even others. Because He may use you often to help support other people. And it's equally as important. It doesn't matter whether you're leading someone to Christ or whether someone else is. It's still all about them being saved. So maybe in many instances, you'll be the support for what's happening. Some cases, it will be you actually doing it and other people supporting you. But it's going to work the way God wants it to work if you're doing it the way that God says it's to be done. And that's kind of why I started with, if we do the Word, the way God says we're to do the Word, then we will be able to do the work the way that God wants us to do it, as long as we're following His Word. So I just want to close with an exhortation. I've actually shared this in the Leadership Training School before, and a couple different times where I've taught. Often when I close a service, I like to exhort people to a particular action. And what I find is many people, when I talk to them, I've asked many people, so you read the word exhort in the Bible, can you tell me what it means? And most people say, well, it means to thank someone or encourage them. Encourage is close, but it's not quite when you get down to the actual, when you study it out in the Greek and go back to the root meanings. It literally means to call someone out to some future positive action, as if across the room. That's kind of the full meaning of it. There's a reason for the as if across the room. It's so that other people can join in doing the same thing with the person. In other words, it's not just you doing it with them. It's the whole family of God calling them out to this same action. So it is like an encouragement. Do this that the Word of God says to do. Okay? And so if you want to look at where it says that we need to be doing this, it's in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It's one of the reasons that we're to get together as a church body. It says that we're to get together, and it says, and when you're getting together, you're to be exhorting one another. So it's one of the things, by exhorting one another, that means Josiah exhorting Randy, and Randy exhorting Tom, and Tom exhorting Shane. In other words, it's not just one person doing this, it's exhorting one another. So exhorting should just flow around this church every time we get together. So first of all, I would encourage you all to be exhorters because God calls us to do it. But in this case specifically, I exhort you to go into the Word of God and find out what more God has supplied you with to be able to carry out the works that He has for you to do. So that's all I have to share with you this morning. I'll turn it back over to Shane. Thank you so much.